Alrighty, I'd like to welcome everyone to a workshop, Monroe Common Board workshop on Universal Playground. And with that, we'll have attendance for town board members. Councilmember Hogan.
Here.
Councilmember Noonan.
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel.
Here.
Councilmember LeClaire.
Here.
And supervisors present. We're also joined by rec staff. We have Sandy Mahoney and David Jones. A representative of the press evening. We're joined by the illustrious Kathleen Moore. And the guest of honor this evening is Lisa McCorkle, who is with the LA Group and has been hired by the town to work with us in creating and constructing our Universal Playground. So with that, I'm going to open it up to you. My goal this evening is to have about a 45-50 minute discussion. I'll be out of here certainly by 7 o'clock.
Absolutely.
If not sooner. So anything you can do.
I'm a fast talker.
That's good. So floor is yours.
And a lot of thank you all for coming on such a beautiful evening. I know some of you have ball games to go to. So the purpose of today's meeting is because we started quite a little while ago and have had some intermediary steps, is we wanted to get back together with you and kind of confirm the program and the process we'll go through to get some concept plans in place for the playground. Talk about whether there's anything new, that new ideas that have come up that we should incorporate. And if we have time, we can look at some maps of the site. And we've started to work out some analysis of the site now that it's in a different location than originally was thought, and some functional diagrams of how things relate to each other within the playground and within the park itself. Let's see. So since we started in November of last year, we did... Jim Martin and I came up and met with Todd and went over some of the project goals, and specifically we went over getting together information needed for the DASME grant. So that has gone in and we've done that piece. And I've also met this spring with John at the site, and we looked at the site itself and we looked at the trees that were on the property and talked about some of the conditions there. So that's what we've done so far. You actually have a really nice opportunity, I think, in this new location because it's a little more interesting than the other one. It has some great changes and some the trees, so I think there's more opportunities there than the existing playground area. I think you all know, I don't think any of this has changed, but the goal is to have a fully accessible play area in the park that's fun for children of all ages and all abilities. So it's welcoming to children of limited mobility or differing interests and conditions, but it also is interesting to children who are fully mobile. So it's not screaming handicapped playground. It's a playground for all, that's inclusive of all children. All different kinds of sensory and physical and emotional components of play. It's also a play area that's responsive to all the financial considerations, including feasibility. And one of the things that we'll work really hard on is we know it needs to be phased to meet the financial constraints. But that phase one doesn't look like half a playground. That phase one is fully functional, is fantastic, and then accommodates that next, second, third, however many phases and other pieces and plans for those. So the concept plan that we're going to be preparing will be for the entire playground, and it will designate how those phases would happen. And has opportunities for various things like donating materials, donating labor, those, once you get a plan in place, then it will be very easy to see, okay, how can we get these pieces into place. And building on all the ideas that the community and the group generated in the previous plan, not discarding those, building upon them to make it suitable for that site and within the financial considerations. I have a list. I don't think I'll go through the whole thing, but this program components are all of the pieces of the playground, play area itself, and the supporting things like site furnishings, landscaping, grading, utilities, walkways, things like that. A couple of things we talked about when we were out at the site to keep in mind, whether they're future or how they play into place, is when we look at the map. The parking lot, the main parking lot, the closest parking lot is across the street. So we may want to consider if there's space on the side of the property for a couple of parking spaces. You know,
yeah, we, Dave and I, as recently as today, were down there looking at that. And my goal is to have an entire parking lot on that side. I don't want people crossing the road.
Right,
personally.
And I think that would be super helpful to folks.
And the area, the driveway into the parking area should not be, when you're coming off of Jan Avenue, where it's very congested, especially when fields are being changed and a lot of traffic. I would prefer if the board's in agreement to have it come in alongside the basketball court. It's already cleared through there except for maybe one tree, and then have the parking area on the northern side of it so that it's separate from the other parking areas, less chance of people, kids running out in traffic when games are changing from other parts of the recreation area. And we have plenty of land to do it, so we don't need to box ourselves in.
Okay. And then we also had talked about making a connection, a walkway to the bathroom.
Yes.
The restroom. Because
yeah.
My son's older now, but when he was little, you know, we always knew where the nearest bathroom was.
Right.
And a lot of kids with disabilities have greater need for knowing, you know, where the restroom is or where you can go wash up.
And we talked about that today. So I think our goal, I mean, Dave and I actually looked at both bathrooms, and obviously the closer one is probably more convenient for those in that situation. And is there a distance, a recommended distance for facilities to be placed no further from this type of playground?
No.
Closer
what's
to better?
Probably, what, yes. And what's probably more important is that the walkway is accessible.
Right.
You know, it's a slope and it's a material to allow somebody to easily get there. So there is some grade changes between the bathroom and the area we're talking about. So not that they can be overcome, but yeah.
Sure.
And it may be that the any work at the restroom and the path and the parking lot are not part of the playground project per se, but we can plan for it and how to accommodate, and that can be part of your, I know you're working on an overall master plan of the park, you know, for prioritizing, you know, getting some of those built. Okay. And I don't know if there's been any other kind of items that have come up as kind of new program pieces for.
Well, we'd like to have more pieces to the puzzle, but I think we're financially constrained on with phase one, and our goal is to, we want to get it completed this year, and that's a top priority.
Yeah. And I have worked out a schedule, but we can certainly talk about that. It's frankly a little bit of a leisurely schedule, and you know, so we can talk about how that best works. So the parts of this process is what we're in the middle of right now is our assessment mapping. meeting today, confirming the program. We will be using the older survey, which is perfectly fine with the aerial for a concept level plan. Kind of gathering all the information about it. One thing I think we talked about it a little bit in the town meeting is we would recommend the town selects a vendor, playground equipment company, that we can work with through the design. So the way that works is there's different, and I have a little summary of it. There's different community purchasing programs, and I don't know if you've used it with other things in the town, but that municipalities, schools often use. Play equipment is tricky in that while some things are consistent across manufacturers, like a belt swing. But once you get into like climbing pieces and some of the more specialized, they're quite different from manufacturer to manufacturer. So as designers and preparing construction documents for bidding purposes, you know, we can bid the quality of the work, and then it's often very difficult during getting different manufacturers to compare if you're really comparing apples to apples. So what some groups will do that are public entities will go through a process where they interview potential equipment manufacturers, and we can help with that, and select one, and then you designate that as an approved supplier of playground equipment for the town. It involves a board resolution, and you know, you would ask questions of them, like, you know, what is the quality of their equipment? How do you know, what are the municipalities that they worked with? You know, how do they? What's their philosophy on universal design? You know, a lot of them. We just had a presentation by one of the companies that has an occupational therapist work with them to design their equipment so that it's really meeting the needs of the kids. So that's a process that, if possible, and if you were willing to do that, if we had them involved early on, we can work with them to design the pieces and how they fit into the landscape and have a much better concept plan and estimate at the end of concept stage than if we were a little more generic in designing it. So I don't know if that's something you would consider.
Yeah, so
concerns about it.
So, well, as long as it falls within the confines of general municipal law, you know, we're over 30,000, we have to put it out to bid, do bid specs with it.
And you can still, it's my understanding, you can designate a vendor.
Before we...
The designating a vendor allows us to spec their equipment. Doesn't mean that the project installation and the, all the other pieces besides just the equipment still go out to bid.
So my suggestion would be you provide the board with how many vendors? Mm-hmm. Five vendors?
Yeah, we can do it.
Five vendors. We know what the budget is for phase one, and the town board will meet with them individually to see what they want, what they're willing to do for that cost, and maybe we can have some back and forth on it if we want to modify it. And at the end of the day, there will be five proposals out there with different levels of quality and all that that the board can select from. Board will pick one of them, and then they can work with you on that.
Right.
Is that how you see it?
Yeah. And they'll also, by having one on board early, and a lot of times we'll work with playground equipment manufacturers that are not an approved vendor yet. You know, they're still going to put in a bid, you know, with the whole construction package. They'll be willing to do 3D renderings or whatever else you might need for fundraising or, you know, to be able to, you know, they'll give us the plans of the equipment that we can put into the, you know, the construction site plan.
So just to clarify, did you say that after we pick a vendor to work with, then we put it out to bid?
Yeah, because we still do construction documents.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they didn't get...
But we're allowed to spec that. We
okay.
would be allowed to spec that vendor.
Okay.
Because you... One of the parallels I've seen in some municipalities is they'll select, like, a light fixture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a street light fixture that's their town standard, and it's a certain manufacturer. But they've gone through a competitive process before they
okay.
picked one. And then they're allowed to have a single vendor. Now, I suppose a vendor could come in the future and say, hey, I make exactly the same one. You know, here's how it's exactly the same. You know, I'd like a chance to, you know, but it allows a mechanism for some, it's used especially with those things that are very, very variable.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Great. That's great. So we're currently contracted to produce concept sketches and cost analysis. And the thought behind that was that once we know a concept, we would be better able to give you a proposal for construction documents. We would know at that point what's going to be donated, what's going to be in the bid documents. So just so you know, we'll go up to a concept phase plan that everyone's happy with, a lot of alternatives, and then a final and estimate all along the way. And then once the general picture is agreed upon, then we would go to construction documents.
Okay, so so we have BOCES down there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I'm talking with David, that they can do all clearing and get it done for our construction season.
Right.
So are you going to come up with a cost estimate for, you know, tree removal and grading, things like that?
Yeah, what we would do with the concept plans is everything... I think we probably would approach it similar to how we did some of the cost estimating in the past, where we would include everything to build it. And then that'll be itemized so that if then, say, you get someone who says, I'll come in and clear the rest of the trees for free, you could say, well, that would be a savings for us of X dollars, you know, that had been allotted. But it would be like the whole thing from start to finish. In the estimating, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we can modify the drawings as we go along. If certain work happens, we can adjust, like, our base plan. Like, right now it would show all the trees are removed. And if BOCES gets so far, then, okay, now it's a little bit less,
okay.
You know. Like that.
All right. Yep.
So
what do we got to do to move this along?
So let's look at the...
Is this one map or several of the same map?
It's several different maps. So I'll just fold them back. So
you're fine.
You are.
She's maroon.
No. So. Here's the one entrance that comes in by the tennis courts, and then the drive comes around.
That's
here's
Boulevard.
The big parking lot, and then here's the other entrance right there. There's the service. Yeah,
that's the video
that we're doing. Right in here is where we're talking about. Here's the existing playground.
Right. So I was referencing coming around here. Here's the... that's volleyball, right? And basketball here.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in here as the road coming in with the parking lot as necessary up in this region in here. And we've got the pavilion here and pavilion
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Bathroom here.
Yeah, it's here.
So having a path you know, the path, I don't know whether we have to put a sidewalk or whatever, but you got to be able to get a wheelchair from here to there easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then participants could use either pavilion, and it's more centrally located to, you know, the quads, you know, these fields over here versus, you know, when we were looking over in this area here, it was too crowded. So, you know, I think this removes the issue of traffic, you know, of when I guess...
If you're coming in here, are we going out here?
No.
So it's all in and out over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's a, you know, I think from a safety issue,
mm-hmm.
that is a lot better. And, you know, with a spray park and as use increases, we have the flexibility to enlarge the parking lot going that way as necessary. You know, we're not confined by, you know, limitations on the northern border or anything like that. And it's already been clear graded in here for...
Yes, and there's kind of a little bit of a trail clearing that goes over by that basketball.
But is that as far as that walkway that goes along the back of Monroe School where it shows where the totem poles are? Is that far back?
No.
Okay.
That walkway is back over here.
Okay. I just didn't know if it was
going to
incorporate that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's it's actually a walking trail down there.
It's a big area.
It pops out.
It looks
over
a lot bigger on paper than
South
Park.
I always thought it was way narrower until I saw that.
Well, you do have a trail. This trail goes here to the quad.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Then you have another trail that comes back to this pavilion.
To two.
Right.
So obviously, you know, we were looking at trees we could save, and you know, we're kind of limited. Obviously, they'd be hardwood. I don't think we need to have towering bifurcated pines.
Yeah.
We don't need any tree to come down on this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Originally, before I was familiar with what was in there, I had thought if there was a couple of nice oaks or something. To have that as kind of a central part of the playground would be interesting, but spindly pines are not particularly.
Most of them are pines in there.
They are, yeah.
And if we have to bring them in, we'll bring them in for, you know, nice hardwood.
So I'm going to just skip to this one. So this is a copy of the survey, which is a little bit old. It doesn't show the road little triangle that's here, but here's our kind of area, the pavilion, the restroom. So, and this doesn't show the basketball.
Well,
here.
The one basketball court here.
Yeah. This was old. I think horseshoe pits.
Yeah,
this
is older.
This is
volleyball.
Right? Okay.
Basketball rig in here.
Yep.
So we're talking about coming in here to a parking back in here.
Right.
And then.
Are you going to bring it this close to the road? Because this whole area is a picnic area.
Right. So there's all kinds of, and there may be more since the survey was done. These are showing kind of like barbecue grills
right.
and
mm-hmm.
pits. So the idea was we keep all those, you know, whatever's existing over here. And we had talked about in the field that probably we would be kind of in this area with the play. Like if you imagine the playground's going to be about that big. I kind of drew a really big bubble here. But, you know, maybe we're kind of tucked in with the pavilion.
So this is the second pavilion right here?
Mm-hmm, the small one.
So
No. I think that's the first pavilion. That's pavilion one.
And there's another one here?
This
and
is pavilion two.
Oh, okay.
And this is the bathroom.
That's the bathroom.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is the cleared area right in here.
Right.
Right.
So there's already a cleared area.
Yes. So, and then it rises up toward the bathroom here with a trail. So, you know, that's where I think
back more in the clearing.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's not on top of this building. It's not on top of the cookout area.
Well, and if we're not trying to make a connection from this parking, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Boy, I really liked pulling the parking off, because we had talked about here, but this is, I imagine, is super busy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Two exits and entries. Hopefully we'll have a third one here in a year or so, but, you know, with anything that mitigates traffic, I mean, if you had stop and go, it'd just be a nightmare for people getting out.
Yeah.
Or going the other way. So I just think it flows better. It's safer for the kids. And we're taking advantage of property. We're not jamming everything out. I mean, we have plenty of land down there.
Yeah.
Are you talking about getting rid of the basketball? I know we talked about the volleyball, no? Leaving them both of them? Okay.
How many parking spaces are you anticipating in phase one?
Well, originally I was over here was only three or four.
Oh.
Would fit. So, you know, we can, you know, see what...
I think with a spray park in there this time of year, you're going to have a lot of people want to pull up in there.
Got it.
That might overflow going to a bigger parking lot.
You got the parking lot right across the road, and you've got the quad parking.
So instead up here, we're talking more here.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's good to have a little space, too, from the court. I've been down there, and some miles getting along that basketball court. We don't want too close to the...
we'll
put a wall.
I mean,
you don't want to...
That's Todd, when you were talking about if there's a chance of expanding it, would you be going that way to you?
With parking lot, or coming this way?
Or playground-wise? I wasn't sure if you were talking about playground or...
So this is phase one. Where do you see the other phases expanding out?
Yeah, you'll have to have that mapped in there.
Yeah, we'll definitely design. So if this was the size of the existing playground, mm-hmm. when we did some of our early estimating, we were saying, well, the entire playground is going to be at least this big. You know, all the
phase
things,
one,
at least, three. You know. So that's why, you know, we kind of had this size bubble. But we're not limited by space here, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. Usually we are very constrained. So I would think you would, that's probably a really good lead in to, so this is a functional diagram with the idea that, and it's not tied to the site. So, you know, you have people coming from parking, need pedestrian access to the playground. This is the playground. I think you probably want kind of a main kind of entry into the playground. One of the big things they talk about with kids with autism is that some of them can be runners. So having a defined boundary of some type and having a limited in and out helps monitor where the kids are, you know. So kind of using a main entry that, you know, is connected to the restroom, maybe even the ball field, you know, if families are over there and some kids come over, into the play area. We also have the existing pavilion, that maybe that's some kind of connection. And then with the utilities, and whether that's, you know, most of the water and the electric are out in the road, but the existing maintenance building has a relationship. So within the playground, what we're envisioning is you have active areas, kind of loud, busy, and then you have some quiet or creative play areas. And they're visually connected to each other, but they have some kind of buffering so that kids can kind of get away, be quiet. You have the woods, which is a great visual kind of things, but you also want to make sure kids aren't, like, headed out. There's a great attraction to playing in the woods, you know, so we'll have to balance how that works. And then the water play.
Will there be family areas built in for this? I know you keep saying about the pavilions, but these pavilions are rented out
mm-hmm.
every day during the summer.
Right.
So, you know, a family comes and maybe they want to use a pavilion, but they're not going to be able to if it's
rented out. Yeah.
And are we going to have like family areas where they can have a picnic?
One of the things that this occupational therapist that came from the play company talked to us about was their thought that inclusive play is also the adults, and that there's a place for them to sit and watch and be close enough to watch but far enough away so the kid can have some independence. And areas that she had an example where a group of grandfathers got brought their kids to early Saturday mornings, and there was a nice little covered area they could sit and play cards while the kids played over there. So inclusive play can mean more than just, you know, wheelchairs and walkers.
So would that be inside the
I think you would want some things, you know, there that are, like, support facilities that make it...
That's kind of what we talked about, that quiet area with the for the adults to be there was, like, the book area that the Eagle Scout did, like, an area for the parents, like the card playing you said.
Because
of the barriers, they felt safer.
I don't know. I've sat at a lot of playgrounds, like on the little curbing and stuff. It's not very comfortable. So, you know.
We might have to provide Wi Fi.
Or we have that phone out.
Fall off. People fall off. No one will ever look up, so I don't know if that's okay.
At the YMCA, it's all the grandparents that need the Wi Fi.
True. All right. So, what are we going to do to start?
I will get you a list of suggested playground vendors.
Okay.
And we can participate in those interviews if you'd like us to, or not. And we will start working on our base mapping and starting to get some ideas down, you know, getting this idea down on here, kind of big picture. And my thought is that we would get you a couple of sketches, and then we'd have another kind of meeting like this, or, you know, it can be at a town board meeting with the different ideas, and then if it's similar to most projects, the three get refined into one because you're like parts of both. I did, like I said, mock out a rough schedule. And like I said, it is a cushy schedule, so we certainly can work with you. I would expect vendors will be pretty quick to respond. And so, you know, if you pick a day... or a couple days if you spread them out, you know, we can help with scheduling them.
So, where's construction begin?
So, I can see that I have to move this up quite a bit because this is to the end of concept.
Okay.
So,
I think concept, we're going to have that 3 weeks. That's my goal. Can we do it?
If we can get the vendors in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We'll start right
so
there.
So.
I mean, our focus has shifted from sewer to rec now, so. We're ready.
I like that. Rec is more fun.
I hope so.
I guarantee it.
So
excitement to sewer, though. I will tell you.
Yeah.
Make that happen.
All right. So, just so I'm clear, we'll get a list of vendors from you. When can we have those?
I am actually out of town tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Friday
so,
morning.
How about Friday morning?
Perfect.
Okay.
So, we'll get them. I'll share them with the board. And how would the board like to move from there? Once we have a list of vendors, we'll set up interview meeting. Do you want it to be the rec committee? Do you want it to be a full board? How do you want to do that?
I mean, would we traditionally take, you're going to give us how many, 5, 3 to 5?
You have to have at least 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
So we could, I could give you a bigger list, you know.
Books,
well, I'd like to narrow it down to 3 if we get a bigger list.
Okay. So typically municipalities meet with the vendor and sort out what they like and what they want to see.
Right.
You rattled off some vetting type questions. If you can just share those.
Absolutely.
We all have our own, but from your perspective, it would be helpful that we don't have you come back later and say, well, did you ask them this or ask them that?
Yep. The list I give you, they all have good quality play equipment. They've been in business a long time, and it's finding which one kind of fits best with you. And some of them are more advanced with Universal Design than others, and some may have more experience with municipalities and this scale of project and be able to really contribute ideas on, you know, community builds and things like that. So
are there any in the Capital Region District that we can go and look at the playgrounds?
We can ask them for a list of their playgrounds, You can also ask for a list of their clients, too, you know.
So we'll get that from you on Friday and try and set up a meeting with them the following week. Does that work? Mm-hmm. Subject to what their availability is. So here's a question I have from because we're funding this with a SAM grant part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm well aware that you cannot submit for reimbursement any expenditures that incur prior to being under contract. So are we limited in moving forward until we find out we are under contract for the SAM grant?
Let me check into that.
Because we want to be reimbursed for our expenditure.
Yeah.
And we got to be getting close. I mean, I've had questions from DASNY on it, so I know that it's got to be really close.
Yeah. And the vendor process is like similar to when you interview a firm like us. They will interview for free, and they will usually contribute design ideas during the concept for free. So you're not paying them for any design effort. But we can confirm that with them.
Okay. So how much time should we anticipate spending with each vendor to get a good overall view of what they have to offer?
I think just an hour. I think
per vendor?
I think so. You think less? More?
No. Not
oh, okay.
No, I'm thinking that's a long time to spend with vendors.
Oh.
But, all right, well, that
yeah, probably would be that, yeah.
Because they will provide what, at least a thumbnail sketch of what they're going to talk about within the confines of our budget, right? For equipment or no? I want them to have an idea.
Yes, before they need to know the scale. You know, because
that you know we're willing to spend up to X dollars on equipment.
They would want to know the scale, but the interview part would not. They may show you examples of what could be possible, but they won't come with a design.
No, I understand that, but I don't want them to say, well, if you have $500,000, you can get this, and you know we're working with this pot of money here. I want them to show us what our options are working with that amount of money.
And we can provide to them ahead of time, like, some of these maps, and here's where we're working, and so they have an overview of what the project is.
So they may need more time than a week. After we get the vendors on Friday.
I don't know. Let me see with Don McPherson in my office to see, like...
All right. I just don't want to lose a construction season if we can move forward on that.
Yep.
And if I hear you correctly, we're also being tasked to pick a vendor we feel comfortable working with. They're all going to go out to bid at the end of the day.
Yeah. But...
We weren't betting them for final price now.
Correct.
We are...
Correct.
For
although
our comfort and then helping understand the concept and work with you.
Right. Because whoever you select will work within the price we have. A good question for them, and I'll put this on the list, is compared to other playground companies, where does your company stand in terms of price? And so whoever is the most costly equipment will be honest with you and tell you I have the most costly equipment, but my equipment is better because of X, Y, and Z. And then you could determine, all right, that guy seemed like the best fit for us. And so, yeah, each piece of equipment might be a little bit more, but we'll still always work towards the price you have for phase one, you know. And none of them are going to be so... They're all close. You know, you can have some playground vendors, which we won't recommend, that are really cheaper, and then you're going to suffer the quality, you know, of it. But, you know, we use their prices to do the estimate, so they're going to be in the ballpark there.
I understand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to want to be concerned about their availability.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, and... we can, you know, outline, here's our time frame, here's how we're working, you know, with LA Group to design it, and then we'll have you part of that.
Yeah. Well, not a bid package, but you could help possibly provide us with a package to give to each of the people we decided to come in, kind of an overview of the project, timeline, scope,
right.
Scale,
right.
Timeline.
Right.
So tell me about base mapping. When, where does that fall in time?
We were supposed to get, and I didn't see it in my file, so I was going to follow up with you. Did you talk with Bill Rourke, the surveyor?
I did.
It's a long
one. Yeah, I didn't talk with
him. Okay. Are you okay if I just call him direct? Okay, because we work with him a lot.
So he's going to do a survey, or he has a survey?
He's going to give us this file.
Oh.
And then what I'll do is we'll go out and measure some of the new things,
okay.
Just for concept. Now, while we're working on concept, you might want to think about having a survey done of this area, you know, because for the construction drawings, you'll really want to do a grading plan and any storm drainage. And this does not have any topography.
His initial survey will, right, have topography, or no?
There, it may be that there's topography in this file, and he just printed it with it turned off. But this is sufficient for us to do the concept.
Okay.
And get started.
Good.
And we're talking about equipment. Do we assume, or do they do the installation, or is that another thing we have to be concerned about, how we're getting this from the trust into the playground for the gift?
Most of the playground companies do have an arm that's construction.
Mm-hmm.
Or... you can go out to bid and have a general contractor who is experienced with playground equipment use their equipment, install it. Or there's all kinds of levels where communities do volunteer, you know, so then maybe the installer will say, okay, I'll provide four men as the expert, and, you know, and we'll have the volunteers do the parts that are appropriate for that. So once we get a design down, we can work with you to figure out what level we should be at. And but the construction part, the play equipment company would need to give you a bid for that, just like any other installer.
Okay.
You know, but they would. The idea is it's like benches. You know, we'll have a certain manufactured bench. And then the general contractor would, you know, in giving you a bid, it would cover the cost of that bench material and then the cost for him to install it. So the playground equipment is similar, but I think there's some savings if the playground manufacturer is supplying it direct. You know, like, so it's like general contractor, here's all the equipment, you know, put it in. And then you're only paying for the cost to put it in. So,
seems like a lot of.
It is a lot of pieces, and I think it will be easier to get our arms around it once we have a plan. You know, because then you know, are we talking about this or this or, you know.
So, what do you need from town board now? Or are you good for at least?
It's all on me. So, I'm good. Yeah, yeah. This is exciting.
Good. Yeah, no, I'm very, very excited. I'm sensitive to everybody's time, so we're running down. Any questions from the board members? Comments? Suggestions?
No. Well, I say no, but of course I got it here. Just back to the map real quick. When we were talking different phases, was the thought like moving it phases throughout the park or expanding on what was going to go in that area? Like, you know, you had so many pieces of equipment, phase one, that, which is, you know, the spray park is part of that, and then some equipment. And then phase two, was that going to move elsewhere, or was it going to kind of just get a little bit bigger in the area that, or more pieces?
I'm thinking it's all in this area.
Okay, well, that's what I was thinking, too, but then I think someone made a comment earlier about other parts of the park in different phases, and I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same.
No, I didn't think
where the parking lot was going to be, and part of that conversation there that, you know, you start closer to the parking lot or farther away, and then you work
right
in one direction, you know, from that.
So, and okay, some of the consideration with phasing is how to divide up, like, the activities of the playground that makes sense, but also the constructability, you know, because you don't want stuff in the way
right.
Once you're trying to, you know, so we may find that kind of the furthest away makes sense first,
right?
You know, and then you're kind of working out towards the parking, you know. Or we may find that they kind of have to be zones, because that way when you're constructing phase two, phase one can still be used. You know, you have
right.
some space between them to allow, you know, not having to shut the playground down while you're building the next phase, you know. So,
well, so my thought, I'm thinking about phases. Do we have an idea about what different pieces we want in this playground? Other than the splash park and a universal swing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beyond that,
I think it was it mapped out in the conceptual idea.
It was, and for
is that the one that's in the hall that you're referring
yes.
to?
Yes.
Okay.
And we had done some early for costing. Okay, what if you put these five pieces in phase one and these five pieces in phase two, and how, you know, kind of trying to balance the activity so you were even, but also the cost, you know.
Because
mm-hmm. For sure some equipment costs more than others.
Age range. Are there pieces of equipment that are more set for, say, 3 to 7, and then 6 to 9, or and how is that handled if we're going to do that? If you only have one piece of equipment that's really age appropriate for a little older child,
yeah,
that
and
enough
that's
of a thing to have.
The way I envision that, because yes, that's absolutely true. Every piece of play equipment has an age rating, and
yeah.
some of it's safety, you know, and some of it is interest, because some of the older kids,
yeah.
while they could be perfectly
mm-hmm.
safe on a younger geared piece,
yeah.
Wouldn't be interested. So I think by needing to divide it up, I think we had included one multi-use piece in the first phase.
Okay.
That would be to an age group. But then we'll have other smaller pieces that maybe address the other age groups in
and
that first phase. And then maybe the second phase has a multi-use piece that's for another age group and has smaller.
But the design allows us to say, okay, the older kids here and the little kids and that, and
Todd,
we can continue to build
one?
Out.
Is that a good
yeah.
picture? You want to get the big one?
So that one piece isn't
well,
this one over here and one over here
this
for this age. And
yeah.
this
that'll be the biggest challenge. That'll
mm-hmm.
be the biggest challenge.
Okay.
And then, of course, a lot of kids go wherever they want to go.
Right.
Everything's exciting.
And that's actually part of where the importance of play in the educational development and the physical development of kids is them, the younger kid, playing on the younger equipment. And they see that other one, and they go try it. Maybe they go halfway, and then they come back, and then they build their confidence and their physical strength or their balance and all that kind of stuff. So it's play, but there's a lot into it.
How do we, I mean, we reach out at some point. We've had some volunteers that have done a lot. That they've worked on this
concept for some time. How do we include them? How do you suggest what works?
It would be great if they could be included in the discussion on the concepts, I think.
And the concepts are after the vendors or before? Sorry.
Well, it's going to kind of happen at the same time. Like, once you get a vendor, you know, we'll start to have some concepts and ideas, and the vendor will really help us with the final one. But,
okay, I think it's important to build excitement within the community because we're building this playground, and it's for the community. It's not for the board or for a limited amount of people.
Right. And once we have the concept in place, kind of the purpose, aside from getting the general idea down so that we can then develop rigid construction documents, is that concept plan will be colorful and it will have support graphics and can be used for letting the public know what's going on, fundraising, that kind of thing. So it's, and I think previously you had some of those things produced, but the concept will work in a couple of ways like that, and plus it allows us to get buy-in on the general idea. These are concepts. You know, these are not construction drawings. Those don't have grades and layout information. So you can use those for that. But you might want to consider having some folks involved a little earlier in the process to give feedback.
And they could be our... not our spokesman, but they could be our people that are sharing this with the community, too. That I think the word needs to get out that we're doing this again, what we're doing.
And I know previously, I understand you did some workshops and some things with kids and stuff. I don't think we need to repeat that. I think we can build on what was learned with that, but still, it seems to me the sooner you let people know what you're doing, the more excitement there would be about it.
So, based on our conversations today, we have a town board meeting Tuesday night, so we should have vendors before then, and so...
next?
Tuesday of next 14. Week, 14th.
We should have a list of vendors.
So,
right, a list
I will talk with the board and see how they want to do interviews.
Okay.
Once we have those in hand, and hopefully we'll have any additional information they'll be able to provide before we meet, actually physically meet with them. That work?
Yes. Yes. That's exciting.
Yeah. All right, we're almost 50 minutes.
I'll take you.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Time to spare.
Anybody else?
Was there still going to be a fence? I know we talked about the barriers with the, you know, the outside of it. How are we going to make it for that group of people that need to have that inclusive?
I think we did include fencing as a cost. I think with fencing, it's all in the details. I mean, you don't want it to look like a cage.
No.
And we don't want people to feel, you know, like, oh, you know, fenced in. But you do want to have that barrier to help with it. And I've seen a lot of fencing that incorporates play components, and I think the previous design suggested that too, that some of the play panels or plant boxes, they can play in the sand, you know, can be part of the fencing, you know, and you can use that vertical surface as another opportunity for visuals. You know, you see it, the ones you mentioned that are part of some gardens and botanic gardens, a lot of times they'll have trellises or lattice work, you know, that's creating a boundary, but it's also, you know, now they're planting lots of fancy plants, but
not so much in the kids' components.
Yeah.
They're more like playgrounds with plantings that look nice.
Yeah,
ones that I've seen that are components.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Well, we're all set here then, I think, for tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And we'll record that Tuesday support meeting.
Yeah. Great. Now I have extra maps if you want them. Did
stop?
You had requested maps